All right. Thank you, Amy, for putting us on. This is Austin Roof with KSTP. And right now, we are fortunate enough to sit down with a very busy but very important Matthew Keyes. He's the area biologist covering the Alaska Peninsula, especially here at the South Peninsula Fisheries. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you making the time.
All right. Thanks, Austin. Yeah, glad to sit down with you and have a quick chat about what's going on in the fishery.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. We're doing something a little bit new here. We're doing this one over Zoom, so thank you for bearing with us if there's any technical issues that arise, but we should be good to go. Matt, I'm just going to go ahead. I know that everyone wants to hear what you have to say about the August fishery, but before we get straight into August fishing, I want to touch on the season so far and just kind of see how, from the department's perspective, things have been rolling out for the 2025 season. From the information that we've received, the June fishery could potentially be the lowest year for harvest on the Alaska Peninsula. Does that number still stand, or that statement still stand?
Preliminary-wise, based on in-season harvest information, looking at almost a 40-year snapshot of the harvest in June, the overall total harvest was about 720,000 fish, which is technically the second lowest harvest for the June fishing period. The lowest harvest occurred in 2001, but with that, in 2001, there was a price dispute, so there wasn't a lot of fishing there. So given the amount of fishing that was occurring or attempting to occur in June, I would put this year as probably the lowest June harvest based on how much fishing was occurring at the time.
Now, one of the questions that I had was, when you're talking about lowest harvest in years, there's a lot of regulations that have occurred over the last 40 years. So, you know, a season where we have the regulations and restrictions on fishing time for the same fleet and locations, those harvest numbers are just inherently probably going to be a bit lower than, say, in the 80s when there was a lot of opportunity to fish in a lot of different areas. Does that sound right to you?
Well, I mean, looking at the last 3 years, overall harvest does seem to be on the decline, and I think partially because of some of the attempts of the seine and drift fleets mitigating their own harvest to make sure that chum harvest is low, and having good sockeye to chum ratio harvest during June. And that is certainly a bit of a factor. And then in 23 and 24, we also had the Shumigans. We had reduced fishing, 50% reduced fishing in some of the fishing periods because of Chignik escapements. But we didn't see that this year. Chignik escapement was good and tracked well throughout the season and still is tracking well. And also harvest has been up in that area as well. So I can't attribute all of the declining fishing to those things, particularly this year. It seemed like there was just a low abundance for harvest in June in the area. And there's lots of reasons why that could happen. The fish, you know, I think the incidental harvest of multiple stocks that come through this area in June could have just entered into their local areas from different points of the ocean and just bypass this area. And we see that from time to time, and it's hard to kind of really pinpoint it because they're not necessarily returning to local systems here. So finding solid trends for the June fishery is a little more challenging than looking at local systems.
And given the size of the ocean and the nature of its complexity, I'm sure it's really hard to track pathways for salmon and where they start entering back into Alaska waters and where they go based upon their home stock. So I imagine that's probably going to be essentially impossible for the department to really get a hold on that kind of information.
Yeah, I mean, as far as for this particular fishery, that's that focuses on multi-stock harvest and ocean temperatures, air temperatures, ocean currents, and wind, I think, play a huge role in how the fish return to their local system. So I think, yeah, there's just a multitude of reasons why this happens, and we see this from time to time as well. I mean, probably 10 years ago, we saw something similar where the sockeye harvest was really low in June and actually picked up in July, which we're seeing a bit of that as well for that during this.
Well, before we get over into July, which it did look like that was a pickup, I wanted to touch, and I can talk about that June fishery for a long time, but how was the incidental catch this year from the department's perspective based upon Chum and Chinook stocks? Did it look like numbers were within an acceptable range for what the department would like to see?
I mean, Chum harvest was one of the lowest we've seen in a while. The 10-year average for Chum is around 500,000. In June, we caught 160,000 to kind of put things into perspective. And for sockeye, the 10-year average for June is 1.6 million, and we caught 437,000. And then odd year pink for June is around 3 million, and we had 127,000. King salmon numbers were, I think, relatively low, which is good. And we'll probably obviously get into that a little bit when we get into the July perspective, but we harvested about 1,800 king salmon or Chinook salmon in June.
Is there data available so far to see if that low harvest in Chum for June translated into any returning stocks in the AYK or other fisheries?
Not at this time. There's not that information. Are you referring to having genetic information for that?
Not necessarily genetic information, but how are the stocks in AYK this year? We've heard a lot about their decreasing Chum salmon. That's been the main talking point for fisheries and a lot of the reason why efforts to mitigate incidental harvest are occurring. Has their returns in AYK this year been better than the last several years?
I haven't looked at it in a few weeks, but from what I recall, they were not going to meet the Chum escapement goals for summer Chum, which is the primary stock of concern for the Yukon. I haven't checked on some of the other ones like the Kuskokwim yet to be certain on that. I keep a pretty tight pulse on what's going on in the Yukon, but knowing for that particular area, the summer chum returning to the Yukon will not be, I don't think we're going to meet that goal. So, which is unfortunate because they were seeing an upward trend the previous 2 years in their escapement.
Okay. Moving into July, so obviously tracking historical data, how was July in the 10-year average? And then obviously it was a much better harvest for us for sockeye and other species than June was. So that goes out without question. That was a better return. But how does it look like July was in the historical perspective?
There was definitely an increase in pretty much all species as far as harvest goes for July. We almost tripled the sockeye harvest, and we're still getting reports from this last fishing period, which ended yesterday at 6 p.m. Pink harvest is up and it's trending upward almost every single fishing period, which is an excellent sign that fish are showing up, and same for chum salmon. aerial survey data is showing about 41% pink escapement area wide. Chum numbers are a little slower, but haven't completely compiled all that information yet. But as far as pink salmon go, we're trending in the upward area for catch and escapement. So feel pretty good about forecast and what's going to be showing up here through August.
Great. Before we touch on chum and pink stocks for August, which I know is the question everyone wants to know about, did you look at the last 10 years and how July numbers have trended for the last 10? Would this be an average July, would you say, for sockeye harvest and other species over the last 10 years?
I didn't go over 10 years, but I did kind of compare this to 2023. And I think looking at more recent information is kind of valuable with the pink, just because, you know, we're on a 2-year cycle with pinks. And harvest, I think, is trending similar to 2023. I haven't compared our escapement levels, but from what I recall, I think our escapement is probably better at this point in time than it was last year, or in 2023 at this time.
All right, well, let tease up perfectly looking into August. So what is the official number that we're at for escapement, if you could just officially say that?
I think we're roughly at 700,000 for pink escapement, which is about 41% of our lower objective of 1.75 million. Chum salmon, it's the difference between chum and pink salmon is that we do an area-wide goal for pink salmon, and chum salmon is a district. Each district has its own objectives, and a little bit lower each district-wise, but things are trending upward as well for that. And we seem to have a corresponding chum escapement with pink escapement. When we have high pink escapement, we've had high chum escapement in the last several odd years as well. So pretty confident. They tend to be a little bit, they tend to show up a little bit later in a lot of these systems than pink salmon.
So I know that you were saying, we were talking earlier this year, it kind of felt like the fish were just almost like running into the rivers, like they were just escaping really quickly this year, almost like they were just honing in for escapement. Have you seen with what happened in Chignik and then Orzinski having a fair, it started out strong in Orzinski, I know, and then kind of slowed down a little bit, but would you say that you're seeing a similar like quick to escape? Are the fish pulling up at the systems, or they seem to be going in river pretty quickly?
I would say that for pink salmon and even chum salmon, it seems like there's not as much entry into the systems, or at least as quickly. I am seeing more buildup outside systems than I think we saw with sockeye earlier. And yeah, I think it's just trying to find exactly where they want to go sometimes. And then, yeah, there's definitely more signs outside than inside in a lot of places. So if they were going straight in like we were seeing earlier this year, I think the escapement would be much, much higher compared to what we were seeing building up outside.
Do you have the numbers from yesterday available yet for what the harvest yesterday looked like for pinks?
Not completely, no. We're still waiting on some additional reporting information. So the last day usually, I think trying to clean up all the deliveries and everything just takes a little bit longer.
All right, we'll keep our eyes looking out for that and put that into the fish report. I know I was hearing rumors of quite a few boats that sound like doing pretty well when it came to the pinks. So hopefully those numbers are reflected. So let's just ask the big question. What do you think it's going to look like for openings over the next 2 weeks? Do you have a feeling as to what you'd like to see in terms of closing and then reopening for the stocks? Is there some markers you're looking for, or do you have a plan in place right now for what you think you'll do in the next week or two?
Right now, I think my approach or our approach is we're going to do essentially a similar closure of approximately 60 hours. And then we'll open again for 61 hours come this Sunday at 8 a.m. And we'll kind of see how that progresses. We haven't officially announced that fishing period yet. We're still kind of waiting on final harvest information to make sure there's no additional king hotspots, and hopefully we're clear of that management strategy that I guess we didn't really cover a whole lot. But with the king conservation throughout the Gulf of Alaska, we implemented a plan of reducing our king harvest in a statistical area 282-11, which is on the east side of Popoff and down kind of the Unga Cape area, and reducing the king harvest by closing that down when it exceeded 1,000 fish threshold in a fishing period in July for just same gear. And we did implement that a couple times this year. We've seen some additional king reports where there's possible trend of high king harvest in some other areas. And we're just doing our due diligence to make sure that that was hopefully just a fluke, high abundance in an area over a short period of time, and making sure it's not a trend. So we can react to that particular type of harvest if that's occurring still.
So to specify, you were looking specifically at the Southeastern District mainland and at a bump up in Chinook harvest that occurred two openers ago, correct? And so you want to make sure that like those geographic areas specifically are not seeing a trend upwards in Chinook harvesting?
That is the primary one. And then also, you know, also still maintaining that the Chinook harvest is declining in that statistical area 282-11 in the Shumigans as well. Historically, we're usually done, you know, most of the kings have traveled through this area by the end of July. Occasionally, when I was looking at this historical information on this, we can occasionally see high harvest into early August as well. Still seeing those feeder kings or those traveling kings into August. And what seems to be still high abundance of the pelagic fish like herring and sand lance in various areas while we're doing our surveys, would make sense to see things, to see Chinook traveling around and feeding on those as well. So, we're just trying to make sure that we aren't over harvesting on the Chinook salmon and maintaining this king conservation throughout the area.
So if there was, say, Southeastern District came in as a hotspot, or that eastern part of the Cape came in as a hotspot, would you potentially open up around Sunday for that opener, but maybe have Sedum closed and that statistical area closed as well, and just open up for other areas if it seemed like those were hot spots for Chinook, but everywhere else was clear?
Yeah, and then that's what we're trying to pinpoint, any specific sections or statistical areas that could be potential for increased king harvest. So that's one of the things we're paying attention to. And I think continue to pay attention to the plan was to mostly concentrate this effort in July, because that tends to be the historical information of high king harvest in July. It's not just king salmon, it's also immature salmon, which is why we have the test fishery in the beginning of July, is to make sure that we don't have this high abundance of kings or other immature salmon coming through our area and targeting those basically undesirable fish for market perspective anyways too. So that's how we're trying to monitor this year, and I think it's important to make sure that we are doing our job as far as conservation for king salmon. We are coming up on a board cycle as well, so I think the more effort we put in conservation, the better this area will have at Board of Fisheries.
Very good. Do you have a time that you would like to hopefully announce what the department would like to do for opportunity for fishing? Is there like a time today that you expect and you'll have enough data to announce an opener?
I actually am anticipating sometime tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, just as the make sure that we have all the information come through. There's no revisions. I think there's a lot of deliveries, a lot of dock deliveries that are occurring still, and so we just want to make sure we have every bit of information that we can get to make sure that we have made sure that there's not high Chinook abundance in any particular area.
Great. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled for that announcement, hopefully coming tomorrow morning. We appreciate all the work that you do for that. And I know that you got a lot of fish to count, so I won't take you too much longer, but I guess my last question would be, have you seen anything that could clue you into fall fishing opportunities at this point? I know it's pretty early on, but anything that you're seeing right now that might give you a little bit of a crystal ball into what you might see for the fall?
Nothing. I mean, other than the continuous trend in increased pink salmon harvest, and then coupling that with increased escapement. You know, we're kind of right now just being optimistically cautious, providing some opportunity so we don't get too far into the season and then have a ton of fish show up, and then focusing on trying to harvest some of the early fish for quality, and also trying to make sure that we kind of control escapements so that we don't go way over the top end, which can happen during these odd years as well. So taking small whacks at it for time being until we're confident that we're above the lower end and trending more towards the midpoint to upper end of the escapement goal.
Okay. Outstanding. Well, I appreciate your time. We'll keep an eye out for that announcement. I guess my one last question, if you were looking at closing off certain areas like that statistical area and Sedum, would you imagine that you would be limiting those sections by gear types, or do you think you might just close them to all gear types?
That's actually a good question. For July, we have been focusing primarily on same gear. And I would imagine that same gear would probably be the gear type that's probably targeting the higher abundance of king salmon. But I suppose looking at all gear types will be considered. So yeah, it's just kind of what's in the harvest, and I don't have a crystal ball as to what everything's going to look like until we have all the information.
Absolutely. All right, Matt, I really appreciate you making time for us today. Thank you so much. We'll keep our eyes peeled for that announcement, hopefully tomorrow morning, and thanks for all you do.
Yeah, thank you, Austin. I appreciate it.
All right, have a great rest of your day, and we'll turn it back to our regularly scheduled programming. We'll post this up online. If you want to listen to it again, we'll have it on apradio.org here shortly. So thanks for tuning in, and Matt, thanks for your time again.
Great, thanks, Austin.
All right, goodbye.
Right.